That's right. It is time for the continuation of the I Love Ann Show. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and my guest host here this morning is Jim Bohannon. You know, one of the things back, what was it, 1979, you said that you put a plea up there that we needed to have Freedom of Information Act Day. Why did you choose James Madison's birthday?
Yeah, let me tell you the whole story here. Excuse me. Basically, I get a lot of feature information for the little show I do, The Offbeat, that I run in the morning. In fact, around 6:25, I guess, is when you carry it. And I get feature information from all kinds of people. And I got this big mailing back about 1977, 78, about pickles. Everything in the world about pickles, facts about pickles, the history of the pickle. I even got 8x10 glossies. I guess I was supposed to hold them up to the microphone. And it was for International Pickle Week. And my thought was that if pickles deserved an entire week, then surely Freedom of Information deserved at least a day. And so I suggested to the National Board of the Society of Professional Journalists at their 1979 convention in New York that we have a Freedom of Information Day, and that it be James Madison's birthday, March the 16th, inasmuch as he's the father of the Constitution. And it was adopted and has been observed every March the 16th starting in 1980, so this is the 35th anniversary.
That's pretty awesome. When you presented that, did you take all the information about the pickles to the convention to prove your point?
I did actually have some of that information with me, yes, as a matter of fact, because it just struck me that we lavish publicity on things that are sometimes not so consequential. So, yeah, I did. I still have the pickle power button that was sent with me from that.
I still have the Jim Bohannon button that you gave me.
Well, there you go. See, now that's a classic example right there. Lavishing attention on me, not nearly as important as lavishing attention on Freedom of Information.
That's kind of the way it goes, doesn't it, Jim?
Well, it certainly is. But I'm grateful for the plug. Thank you.
Well, what do you think about, I got to discuss Hillary a little bit with you. What do you think? Where is this going? And is she going to survive it? Is she going to run for president?
I think she will run. I think she is still the overwhelming favorite to win the Democratic nomination, the presidency. I think she's very vulnerable. She'll run. She's going to be a few months younger than Ronald Reagan was when he ran and won. And I just can't see her spending the rest of her life being a bitter old woman saying coulda, shoulda, woulda. She'll run. It's her last chance. And the most important thing about her nomination is nobody else is running. I mean, the way politics is played these days, if you're serious about the presidency, you've got to be assembling staff. You've got to be raising money. You've got to be having a presence in such early states as Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, for that matter. And nobody else on the Democratic side is doing that. Even Joe Biden, everybody assumes Joe is running, but he's not done any of that. Elizabeth Warren, probably the only viable option to Hillary, she's not doing anything. Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland, I think is running principally to audition to be Hillary's running mate. In all, nobody else is running. Hillary would have to make a major faux pas. Now, what about the emails? Listen, and if you've stuck with the Clintons this far, through the Rose Law Firm records and Whitewater and Monica and all the rest, is a little thing like breaking government regulations on emails going to get in your way? No, this is not going to dissuade you. And there are a lot of Democrats who still feel guilty about having jilted Hillary in 08 for Barack Obama. She's going to have to work at it to not get the nomination.
Wow. Yeah, but Jim, I mean, she has, great missing areas of emails, like the Benghazi ones. That's what Congressman Trey Gowdy's saying, and things like this. And she says she's not going to turn over her server, and there's not going to be an independent looking at the records and everything.
The people who support Hillary just dismiss all of that as part of that vast right-wing conspiracy. Oh, I agree, you're making a very telling case, and it's a case that'll be made against her right through the election. But it's not going to deny her the nomination. I mean, the people who are diehard Hillary backers just don't, for one thing, they don't think that hard about such issues, and they dismiss most of these charges as just coming from that vast right-wing conspiracy. You're using logic, and I'm talking about people who have pretty much put logic aside.
We're talking about the impassioned Clinton supporters, right?
Yes, I'm talking about impassioned Clinton supporters. I mean, the last poll, I mean, we've seen the Republican polls, and they're all very few Republicans at this juncture are even having as much as 20% backing. They're all pretty tight. The last poll I saw for the Democrats, Hillary 60%, 6-0, Joe Biden 13%, Elizabeth Warren 12%. Nobody else is even close.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, what does that say, though, about the status of our country, though, Jim?
Well, I frankly don't think it speaks well to the status of our country. I disagree, certainly, with the Clintons on any number of issues, but just by virtue of the taint that has been attached to the Clintons and the way they do things, and the overall, shall we say, atmosphere that goes around. I think it was the Washington Post, I believe, that had the editorial talking about this is the Clinton, or perhaps the New York Times, but either one, a liberal rag, that this is the Clinton way of doing things, that we don't have to play by everybody else's rules. And that is their view. And, of course, it's not hard to understand why. It's because they've gotten away with it. They have played by their own rules and gotten two terms in the White House for Bill, and now they're going to try for two terms in the White House for Hillary.
Well, do you think she could end up president, though?
It's possible. I mean, you can't win the nomination of a major party and not have a chance. I just think that the baggage on her is so heavy, she's going to have a really tough time in a general election against any competent Republican. Plus, after two-term presidencies, we don't tend to elect somebody else from that party. Richard Nixon couldn't follow two terms of Eisenhower. Following two terms of Clinton, we couldn't get Al Gore in, despite all his supporters tried to do. George H.W. Bush, the exception, but that had more to do with Reagan's immense popularity. And most people think that George H.W. Bush's presidency was, in fact, Reagan's third term.
Interesting. Well, okay, so we talked a little politics here, but I want to talk about with you, because I know every night on the Jim Bohannon Show, you're always delving into interesting and different subjects out there, and I was thinking, what do you think about the fact of, how would you like to be getting engaged in today's world to put together this fabulous engagement where you have videographers and picture takers hidden around to be able to capture the moment?
Well, it sounds like a wonderful idea. It sounds like something that should be sponsored by, I don't know, maybe a jewelry store.
Maybe it should be. But what do you think about, I mean, I think about the poor guys coming in here and, you know, they're picking out their engagement ring and then you ask them, so how are you going to give it to her? 20 years ago, it would be something like, oh, I think I'll put the ring in the glass of champagne. Or we're
right.
Going to be out overlooking the vista that we're going to have our future home at or something like that. Today it is all kinds of wild stuff that become YouTube videos, things to remember. I just think it's really gone over the top.
Well, to the extent that you feel like you have to top somebody else, I think that's frankly a bad idea. There was a story not too many weeks ago of some guy who, in fact, decided he would propose to his girlfriend who lived, I think, in like a third-floor apartment or something.
Yeah.
And he hired this crane that lifted him up outside her window or something.
Right.
To propose. And in fact, he did propose, but he also smashed in the side of the building.
And she did say yes.
That the fact that she said yes, I think, was a testament to her character. But I'll put it this way. They're going to be spending a lot of money in the early days of their marriage paying for that building.
Yeah, I just just look at this. We were driving home the other night, and I saw somebody had taken a probably, maybe 4 by 6 foot, made a sign with glowing lights, with lights that says, prom, ? Like the guy had put it in the yard, will you go to the prom with me?
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody is just doing way over the top. And, you know, I was thinking that maybe it was the social media that is driving all this, that we have to share every bit of our lives.
Oh, that may be part of it, yeah. I think, and also the top this notion that somehow my proposal is unworthy if I don't hire the Goodyear blimp to spray the sky with pixie dust and something of that nature. I mean, I don't think that has anything to do with a sincere proposal. A simple one knee and will you marry me ought to be quite sufficient. And I frankly think that anybody who would be impressed by that is probably a bit shallow on the surface.
Oh, well, that brings us to a next question then. Are we becoming more shallow and more show?
Oh, definitely. Deep down, we're very shallow. Deep down, there is no deep down.
Okay, well, I mean, it was just a topic of conversation I thought you might find interesting, because every day that somebody does something, I know a guy a few weeks ago was getting engaged, and he had to get the videographer in place before he let her back in the house, and the videographer was hiding behind a plant to capture this whole moment.
Yeah. Now, you can be cute about it. I don't mean that it's bad. I just simply think that if you think you have found a really good and touching way to emphasize your love, that's fine. But if you're only doing it because, well, I got to top what the other person did, then that's kind of a bad reason. But if you found a creative way to propose, well, hey, go for it.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting... Well, like the guy with the crane, I mean... He went so far.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, see, that wasn't too well thought out. Yeah, he definitely made a big splash. He should have realized the liability possibilities, because cranes, of course, especially doing something they were not designed to do, like hovering a guy next to a building, well, you know, things can go wrong, so you got to be prepared for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, what are the other things that you're really concerned about as far as our country and all the scandals out there? What is one of your favorites?
Oh, I'm very concerned about education in this country and the fact that we are not demanding that children learn. There's still a tendency on the part of far too many school districts to warehouse kids and let them sit there. And under the theory, I suppose, that if you sit in a building that contains books, that like osmosis, the knowledge will sort of drain into their heads. I am tired of school districts that hand out diplomas to children who really, literally, cannot read their own diploma. That is bad. Now, I know there's a lot of feeling against the Common Core educational standards. Well, if there's something wrong with those particular standards, then pick other standards. But we have to have standards. We are producing illiterates who have the piece of paper that says they're not illiterate. And these are the people who are going to be supporting this country, supporting people our age, in our dotage. They're going to be keeping the country going. And frankly, we can't afford that. There are school systems in this country that have no business being school systems. And in some cases, the state has recognized that and literally taken over local school districts because the public is too apathetic and too ignorant to demand standards. It simply has got to stop. We can't afford to do this. Other countries aren't letting this happen, and we're going to become a backwater in the 21st century if we don't demand some educational standards.
Well, we have so many students. Do you think that's...
I'm sorry?
I said we have so many students, and some of these school districts are just oversized and can't work within the means that they have. I mean...
Then they've got to raise taxes. I mean, that's why we have taxes in this country. And I would point out that doesn't mean you've got to build a new football stadium every 10 years. It doesn't mean, frankly, you've got to build new schools necessarily. There's nothing wrong with refurbished schools that are well-maintained. and neatly kept up. But we have bad priorities. Instead of building palaces for these students, we've got to put the money into other things that will guarantee that they're learning something, not that they're sitting in a palace or that they have a fancy place to kick around a pigskin bladder every Friday night.
Well, you know, I think you've got a point there, but that's not what that goes back to that show thing. We got to have the big show, Jim.
You've got to have the what?
The big show. You know, you've got to the fancy football stadium, all the uniforms and everything.
Well, I mean,
perfect.
That's just it. You don't need that. Do you know how many countries in the world have something like our academic sports establishment? Do you know how many?
Zero.
That would be zero. That is correct. There are 200 countries in this world, developed, undeveloped, in between. We're the only one that feels that high school and college must be intimately tied with athletic contests, big arenas and stadiums, fancy uniforms, cheerleaders, and all the rest. It is a dumb idea. Yeah, I enjoy sports. Yeah, I've got my bracket for the NCAA. But do I consider that a wise expenditure of public money? No. Capital M, capital O. This should be about education. And we ought to turn, frankly, the NCAA in many regards into what it really is, and that's the minor leagues for the NBA and the NFL.
Well, you know, I think you've got a point there, Jim, but I don't think you're going to change the culture of that. I think, you know...
No. I agree. The problem is not going to be solved because there are far too many tailgating Yahoo alumni who don't really care about good old USC or Clemson. They care about whether or not the football or basketball teams win. And they're the problem.
And so where is our country going, Jim?
Well, maybe we're holding our own. I hope. I certainly am not looking at us gaining any ground. Possibly we're sinking in comparison with other countries. I think that's probably what we're doing, and maybe we'll be able to slow the rate of sinking. There are a lot of fundamental changes that need to be made in this country, and we don't seem to be interested in making any of those.
Yeah, it's change is tough, and particularly when you have a government that just believes in keep upping our debt limit because the credit card is full up.
Oh, that has got to stop. We have to have a balanced budget amendment with teeth in it. We cannot keep doing this $18 trillion and hiking it well and well beyond that. If we want something, we have got to learn to pay for it.
Well, that's what
if we actually had to pay for everything we get from government currently, I mean, my goodness, the tax burden would probably double. And at that time, people would say, well, we can't spend this much, to which the answer should be, okay, decide what it is you don't want. But see, we don't have to make that choice now because we have this magic credit card. It's like a money tree growing in the backyard. I can have everything I want. I don't have to pick and choose or prioritize. And I'll let my kids and grandkids pay for it someday when I drive their country bankrupt. We are arguably the least great generation.
The least great generation.
Yes.
Well, that kind of correlates with the greatest generation here.
Well, exactly. I think we are the least great generation. Name another generation ever that spent their children's fortunes.
I don't know one.
Well, there isn't one. Not only not one in this country, but not one in the other country of which I'm aware.
Well, this is a happy topic here today, Jim.
Well, hey, you know.
Well, do you think that, you know, even the Republicans, how do you think the Republicans are doing in since they've gotten all this control in these 60 days or whatever?
Well, they certainly haven't. If by control you mean both houses of the Congress, they
correct.
Have that. They certainly haven't been willing to use it to any great amount yet. They certainly have not, for example, even when they had the House only, which they've had since, 2010, even when they had the House only, they didn't take control of the budget process. All revenue bills have to originate in the House. So that means that the party that controls the House can simply not appropriate funds for any program they don't like. They could have starved Obamacare to death since 2010. So they've got the votes, but they have been very unwilling to use them.
Well, what do you think about what happened with Homeland Security and immigration?
With, what was the first one?
With Homeland Security and immigration.
Well, that was a cave-in, basically. The president's ruling by edict through his executive orders, and that the line should have been drawn there, and it was not.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people said, though, that we should just fund Homeland Security because of the threats that we have with ISIS, et cetera.
Well, we shouldn't be voting on anything in Washington that isn't up or down on that issue. The idea of voting on certain things and holding other things hostage is a ridiculous notion. In this day and age, as tight as we are for money, everything needs to be voted up and down. That's why earmarks have no place. The idea of a member of Congress who brings home the bacon, that's a reason to vote against somebody. He's one of the parasites. If he, quote, brings home the bacon, that means he brings projects to your district that you didn't earn. And we have to stop that.
Yeah, but how do you actually stop that? That's an interesting question, Jim. How do you actually
stop it? I tell you, increasingly, you're going to have constitutional amendments. And increasingly, Congress is unlikely to go along. A constitutional amendment can be started in one of two ways, either by a two-thirds vote of each House of Congress, and that's virtually impossible, or by a two-thirds vote at a constitutional convention. And you've had people say, oh, well, you can't do that. You could have a runaway convention. Who cares? Because a constitutional convention cannot amend the Constitution. It can only recommend changes, which still have to get passed three-quarters of the states. And nothing radical, stupid, or off the wall is going to get past three-quarters of the states.
Yes, but how do you get somebody to vote for something that is good for, let's say, South Carolina, like the port, let's use the port, our port down there, and somebody that's in a landlocked state that has no interest in the port?
Well, first of all, if you're from a landlocked state, you may have a lot of interest in ports. If you're from a big agricultural state and you sell a lot of stuff overseas, ports are very important to you. But even beyond that, to address the central issue you bring up, the fact is we've got to start thinking like we're one country and stop worrying about what I can bring home to the port of Charleston or what I can bring home to Wichita or what have you. We're one country.
I know, we are, but it still takes X amount of votes to get there, and you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood with the one and only Jim Bohannon. So how do you get the country to think as one when everybody has different issues that affect their state, i.e. we're talking about the pork, bringing home the bacon?
Well, as I say, you simply have to realize that we have got to rein in expenditures, we've got to rein in taxes, and that means that every project has got to be weighed on its own merits, not for what it does to one district or one city or even one state, but what it does for the country. We have to prioritize. We do it all the time. We prioritize when we buy a house. We prioritize when we buy home appliances. We prioritize when we buy a car. We know how to do it. We just don't like to do it when we've got the money tree going for us and the printing presses over at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing.
But do you think there ever was a time in our country where, I mean, how far would you have to go back in our country's history to find a time where we all worked as one?
Well, I think we've worked as one, certainly during World War II, for example. We worked for the survival of civilization because we had to. We haven't always poured the national debt up as high as it is. I mean, there was a time when the national debt didn't even exist. And certainly, it didn't reach unmanageable standards until the lifetime of some people still alive.
So
that's all I'm saying is we need in place mechanisms that make people, in fact, do the responsible thing.
Well, then I guess we'd be kicking all the bums out, right?
Not necessarily. Some of the bums happen to be thinking in the right direction. the notion of kicking all the bums out is very counterproductive. No, kick out the other bums.
Yeah, but, you know, you said this before yourself. We like our own bums.
Well, we do like our own bums. I'll be honest with you. There are a lot of very venal, selfish, unthinking people in this country who think that, stealing from your children and your grandchildren is just dandy, if, in fact, they're even aware of it. We have a lot of very semi-literate voters in this country who want what they have coming to them. They would not even have followed this conversation, Anne. They wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes into this conversation because they're too interested in dancing with the stars.
Oh, that's true. That's true, Jim. Well, I just was curious because, you know, we just don't seem to get anywhere with this. We all keep having the same type of conversations, but do you think there really is a move afoot to change, or are we headed on the same path?
No, I don't think there's some move afoot to change it. I'll put it this way. I think that we are generally aware of the fact that we spend too much and that we may very well vote for Congresses and a president who will cut some of that. But if we actually had to face up to how badly in debt we are, oh, the public would go crazy. Most people have no idea how deeply in debt. Like I said, we could double our taxes and still not be meeting our deficit. We'd still be adding to the debt. That's how much we spend over what we take in.
But that's why we want the rich people to pay more, Jim.
Yeah, but the rich people happen to be the very people who provide the capital to create jobs. So, again, that's part of our problem, a public that is very illiterate about the basics of economics.
That's true. Well, listen, I always appreciate you calling in and giving us some insight. What's up on the Jim Bohannon coming up this week? Got anything particularly exciting?
Well, coming up, we're going to talk about freedom of information tonight in our 11 p.m. hour on the Jim Bohannon Show.
Okay. Well, that'll be a good one to hear. Do you think, though, that freedom of information is going to stay alive? I mean, the press keeps pressing it and doing what they should do, but do you think our government is ever going to be as transparent as they once said they were going to be?
Well, if we, in fact, have the proper laws on the books and we enforce those laws, yes. But the public has got to demand it. And we can't just wallow in this cynicism of, oh, it's never going to change, et cetera, and so on, because that's the surefire way to guarantee that it won't change. Yes, it's still possible for people to see to it that laws that they wish are enacted and enforced. It can happen.
Okay. Well, the one and only Jim Bohannon right here on WCRS. Jim Bohannon, I always appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much.
Well, absolutely, Ann. Anytime.
All right. You have a great day. Say hello to
you
Annabelle.
Too, now.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.